He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the August 1st. Welcome to August. It's the August 1st edition of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, CEO of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide firm. And Barry Kites with us today, our CFA and CFP. We'll be going through a lot of analysis of the markets. You know, the markets have turned around. I don't know what did it. We'll have to look at headlines, but it seems like there's been some headlines since the market opened here recently. And now we've moved into positive territory with the Dow up 78 points, 32,922. We had a good finish, obviously, to July. The NASDAQ is up 46 points. To 12,436. The NASDAQ and the Dow and the S&P 500 have had fairly stunning technical turnarounds over the last several weeks, from downtrends to uptrends. We'll certainly vote for that move. S&P 500 up 4,136. Crude oil down 484 right now. It's the big loser today. 93.78. Not sure what the news is there. Gold is up $6. Silver's up 14 cents. The 10-year is holding steady at 2.63. Way down at 2.63. And Bitcoin down 400 to 23,320. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show as we begin a new month. The second month of the third quarter of 2023. Will this month come in at negative GDP? We'll find out. Are 3 months in a row the definition of a recession, the continuation of a recession, or will we bounce into positive GDP territory here in this quarter that we're currently in? Well, we got Barry back from Europe, and he's ready to weigh in on a lot of these economic reports coming in this week. And, of course, we're still in the midst of earnings season, Barry. We're 50% of the way through earnings season.
Yeah, halfway through, and we got the good ISM, actually a surprise, kind of a good ISM number, manufacturing number this morning. And one unique thing I'll have to look into is that the price index actually sank 18.5 points. So it was 78.5 last go-around. It was 50 this time. So we'll have to take a look and see if that means, you know, if that means some portion of inflation is waning. I don't know.
We'll see what that means. I'm starting to see inflation wane a little bit. We saw $3.50 gas out in the Somerville area of South Carolina. So that's come down about a dollar, you know, from the high. We're not seeing it on the harbor yet. We're not really seeing it at the grocery store yet, but maybe there is finally some moderation here to inflation. Okay, we finished off the week last week pretty well. We had a strong finish. We had a strong week. We had Amazon and Apple earnings that basically kind of set the market on fire on Friday. I said in my newsletter over the weekend that, you know, we were on this turnaround. We saw it coming. We got positioned in front of it. We got rid of our inverse funds at a pretty good time, I think. The turnaround, we watched that that downtrend finally turn to a sideways trend, a bottoming trend. And then we started to see it point up, and, you know, I've been buying for the last several weeks here and there, taking rifle shots, not really, you know, big wide swaths of the market, but companies that are growing faster than the overall market. I am finding more values right now than I was finding before. But having said that, I also mentioned in my newsletter over the weekend that we've come a long ways in a short period of time, Barry. You just can't win. And now we start looking for resistance, where before we were looking for support. And the market does look just a little bit overheated to me on a short-term basis. That doesn't mean there's not still plenty of individual stocks within the market. But now we have to start looking at valuations once again.
Well, we're not expecting a V-shaped recovery. I mean, you've kind of harped on that a good bit. It's not like coming out of COVID where you just flip the light switch back on. There's a handful of switches that need to be flipped along the way,
actually. Yes. But, you know, one thing I will say, okay, and we're going to get into a few more of the details and color of this current earnings season, which 50% is now in the books. And I got to believe we have a pretty good strong trend that the other 50% will more than likely follow. I have seen the earnings estimates a little bit coming down for the next two quarters. In fact, those were some of the biggest decreases I've seen in quite some time. I think they were just lagging, though. I think they should have probably came down lower quite some time ago. And finally, the analysts are just now getting around to lowering those expectations. But overall, I mean, we're still looking for record earnings this year, 2022, and we're looking for record earnings next year, 2023. Now it comes down to just how big those earnings will be and what kind of a multiple that we can put on those earnings. I think the multiple has probably doesn't have much room to contract anymore. If anything, it has room to expand. And another reason I say that, Barry, is interest rates have remained amazingly low throughout this. We're at 2.63 when we were up above 3% not that long ago.
Yeah, I feel like what we topped out, or it didn't last long, so my memory might be waning a bit, but you know, topped out around 3.25. I think we hit 3.5 for a short, very short period of time, and then I mean now we're at 2.6, which is basically. You know, it's at least 60-something basis points from, say, that 3.25 number. So it's been it's certainly been a unique path for interest rates this year.
Yeah, we saw a big rally in the bond market, too, the last couple of weeks, which is pretty surprising. Okay, well, as we finished the week last week, we had the consumer sentiment numbers. They edged up a little bit. Inflation expectations seem to be stable right now. You had two major retailers in the past couple of weeks. One, a big box retailer, Walmart, which said, you know, margins are getting thin, and they guided lower, basically to a no-growth situation at all. And on the other hand, Amazon came in. That stock was up 10 or 12%, something like that, on Friday. And they had better than expected earnings. But, you know, Amazon seems to be the only one out there, the online retailers. If you look at the rest of them, Shopify, Wayfair, Overstock.com, and the others, Amazon seems to be the only. They're so dominant. It doesn't make much sense to buy an online retail ETF like ONLN when Amazon is the dominant company. You may as well just own Amazon.
Well, when you explain the big difference between all of those companies and Amazon is AWS.
Yeah,
you know, their
that's
server,
true.
And that's what really, you know, that's kind of really their cash cow at the moment, which is helping kind of, you know, supplement, right, all the other things that they do or subsidize all the other things that they do. And so, you know, those other companies don't have a data storage server business.
No, no. Well, as the week progresses, we're going to get some pretty big earnings reports from Starbucks, AMD, Uber, JetBlue, Caterpillar, and others.
A lot of oil companies today. We actually got, what, I think Devon Energy at the end of the day. We've got a number of your, number of oil and gas names reporting this morning. So it'll be, or early this week. So it'll be interesting to see what their cash numbers look like. I wonder if, I wonder if Biden will, throw some more comments out about them. I think last go around, what it was.
Gouging.
More cash than God or something.
Yeah.
Making more money than God.
Well, you know, we did have some huge earnings last week. Chevron and Exxon had record earnings.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it all averages out. I mean, look at all the lean years and the years where oil was $20, $25 a barrel and whatnot. So, all right, well, we got a lot. We're going to focus on earnings, the big E, when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Will report, and they are Microsoft is acquiring the company. I don't know if that's passed all of the regulators' hurdles yet, but Activision will report earnings. Diamondback Energy, which is FANG. I would say most of the oil stocks are down 1.5 to 2% right now. FANG is down 4.05%. It's the non-social media part of FANG. It has the symbol FANG. On Semiconductor, I thought they reported last week, but it looks like they're going to report today. The semiconductors did pretty well last week. Tomorrow will be a big one. AMD will report. I would say AMD and NVIDIA are the big ones. And you know what? AMD's been on a roll, Various. It bottomed out at 71.60. It's at 96 in about 4 weeks. That's about a 30% move out of AMD. That's pretty good. And, you know, they have a penchant for reporting good earnings. We'll see if they can do it again.
Always one of our favorites and a great CEO. So she does a great, like you said, usually guides very well and knows how to play the earnings game.
A lot better than Intel CEO. They have just been a disaster for a long time. Okay, Caterpillar will report tomorrow. Starbucks will report tomorrow after the close. These are all part of the S&P 500, so they're important ones. JetBlue will report after the close tomorrow. Moderna will report on Wednesday, the big vaccine maker. CVS Health on Wednesday. eBay on Wednesday. Beyond Meat on Thursday. That's been kind of a disaster, too, as their McDonald's trial didn't go over that well. Chenier, LNG. That's a big one in that
Mosaic.
Natural gas.
I think Mosaic reports early this week, too.
Yeah, fertilizer. And the fertilizer companies are coming under a little bit of pressure because of the, you've got Trudeau wanting them to reduce the fertilizer on the fields by 30%. You know, I just don't see that. I would go elsewhere to try to get carbon reduction. Instead of fertilizer on the fields that grow the crops. Of course, this is part of what the farmers are upset about in Europe and the protests they're having in Holland, the second biggest food producer in the world. And Canada is a pretty big food producer themselves, and the farmers not happy with Trudeau. Now Trudeau this week, we'll get to that in a minute, he's going after the oil companies, which, you know, look, Canada is a natural resource
exactly.
economy.
All right? Yeah, it's crazy.
Timber, oil, gold, silver. They have the largest potash company up there. So he's kind of going after, you know, the
their
core.
Their bread and butter. I mean, that's like going after your bread. I mean, it's cutting your nose off despite your face. It really doesn't, I mean, which a lot of times politicians don't. Man. It really doesn't make economic sense, you know.
No. Then Friday, let's see, DraftKings, Goodyear Tire, maybe Berkshire Hathaway. Now, here's something to watch. There's actually an app that tracks ships across the world. And I read this morning that the first grain ship, I think this happened over the weekend, left Ukraine. I wouldn't want to be a crewman on that grain ship.
Odessa. Yeah, you get it. Some landmines. Who knows what's going to happen?
Missile,
when you go
Russian missiles.
Blockade, right? Yeah. I mean,
okay, so it's carrying 26,000 tons of corn. Actually, it did leave this morning. It departed Odessa at 9:48 a.m. local time. I did pull it up. The name of the ship is Razoni, R-A-Z-O-N-I, and it is traveling. It's out of the Odessa harbor. Nothing's happened yet. It's headed for Tripoli, Lebanon, and I don't know where that corn is bound, but the Mideast is totally dependent upon the grain. Out of Ukraine.
Yeah, was it Egypt was like what 80% or so of their grain was from Ukraine or you know Ukraine or Russia, one or the other, or, you know, or a combination of both. So
yeah, so I mean, in the meantime, a Russian naval blockade still threatens Ukraine's commercial sea routes, while missile strikes have targeted several ports as well as infrastructure for grain storage. And another big thing that happened over the weekend in Ukraine is missiles killed. They hit the home of the CEO, the biggest CEO over there, over all the grain companies. He's brought in the technology to move this grain, and he's kind of the kingpin over there. Well, a Russian missile killed him and his wife over the weekend. But Vladimir Zelensky, president of Ukraine, said it's important for us to remain the guarantor of global food security. Well, we'll see what happens. Okay, 16 more grain ships are awaiting departure from Odessa. It will depend on whether or not the deal can hold. Okay, so we'll be watching that. Top Canada oil execs push back against Trudeau's unrealistic emissions plans. He wants sharp emissions cuts. And, you know, they put up numbers that are impossible to reach. They know they're impossible to reach. You know, he's trying to get to net zero in Canada by 2030.
And it requires innovation to get there. Like, I get promoting innovation, but, like, I mean, if you throw up a number that current technology cannot hit, right? And
no.
It's like, it doesn't make it.
It's kind of a joke.
It doesn't make sense, yeah.
Okay, I want, you know, the chef here. I want, you know, lobster thermidor, but I want to keep the calories at 100 calories. That's all you're allowed. It's so the guy, the CEO of Imperial Oil, which is one of their big ones, he says, you know, his goals are very aggressive, but they stretch the capability of what is technically and economically feasible. He says, we share the government's objective to tackle climate change in a very proactive manner, but he urged caution that we need to bring the right balance to environmental improvements with continued oil supply. I read a good article in the Wall Street Journal late last week, which is basically it's basically said what we've been saying, that, you know, it's one thing to move in this direction, but not to have the alternatives ready to go. That's not wise. You're gonna shut down your economies. Trudeau's goal of cutting emissions from the energy sector by 42% by 2030 exceeds the Canadian oil industry proposal to reduce emissions by 30%. So, anyways, that's where we stand with Mr. Trudeau up in Canada. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot going on in China, too, right now. We don't know if Pelosi's headed there or not. That's like a grain chip headed to Tripoli if she goes. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, China is a tough place to invest in. You know, I think it was last Friday, Alibaba was down 12%. It was making some pretty good progress. And then all of a sudden, the SEC added Alibaba to the potential list of companies facing delisting. So, you know, there's not good relations right now, and a lot of this could be, talk and rhetoric as each side goes back and forth. It didn't sound like the conversation between Xi and Biden went very well last week. They basically told Biden and America not to mess with Taiwan, where there's you mess with fire. And so we'll see if Nancy Pelosi changes her travel plans this week. I don't know if it's this week, next week. She was going on
visit. She's in Asia now, but I guess my whole thing is what's the purpose of the meeting? I mean, like, you just, I mean, is it to, you know, to be out of spite? I mean, you know, if is it her decision? Is it U.S.'s decision? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It kind of throws me off in terms of...
Well, I think it's just to show our support. Right. Well, Biden definitely didn't send her because he says, I don't know. I don't think this is a good... Our military says this isn't a good time to go.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure what's behind it. But obviously, I mean, showing our support for Taiwan, but... It almost seems like it's inevitable that they're going to make the same move on Taiwan that they made on Hong Kong. I mean, they're trying to do it verbally now and say, why don't you just join up now before, we go in there. But who knows when. It could be years down the road. It could be months down the road. Anyways, China's a difficult place. It's a difficult place. They did have some good reports today on their... electric vehicle sales. Li Auto is up 7% today. XPeng is up a half a percent. No, it's flat today. Li's the winner. Let's see how Boyd is doing. BYDDF. Boyd, which has been a little bit flat here recently with these souring. Well, Boyd's having a good day. It's up 4% today. And what's the other one? Li. XPeng, Boyd. There's one other one that's not coming to my mind right now, but
they had Neo. Good, probably Neo.
Yeah, Neo. Okay, they had good car sales with them coming out of COVID. Neo's up 3.6% today. XPeng's July deliveries up 43% year over year. That's pretty dang good. You'd think it would be up, but the stock is flat. Neo deliveries 27% year over year. There was one company of note reporting earnings this morning. This is a pretty good group right now in the market. The medical device research equipment, that kind of thing. PerkinElmer is up 9% today. They beat earnings by 31 cents. They beat revenue by $1.2 billion. So with that, let's just take a look at this current earnings season and where we're at with 50% of it now in the books. It has improved each week. Each week got better. It was off to a very slow start. This week, 152 S&P 500 companies will report earnings. So by the end of this week, we're going to have it pretty much in the books. 56% of the S&P 500 companies have reported earnings so far. 73% have reported a positive earnings surprise. Okay, that's improved a lot. That's just below the average of about 77%. The sales side, not so good. 66% have reported a positive revenue surprise. And usually that's up around 75 to 77%, but it continues to improve. When we started this quarter, we were looking for 4.5% growth versus the same quarter last year. And with 56% of the companies now in the books, we're at 6% growth. Okay, so we've gone from 4.5% growth to 6% growth now expected when all is said and done. And we still have another half to go. So we could get it up around 7 or 8%. The sales growth is expected to be 12.3%. Now, that's just a, you know, there's a disparity there. The sales are growing at 12%. The earnings are growing at 6%. I think that's inflation showing up in the margins, Barry, when the earnings growth isn't going at the same pace quite as the sales growth. The forward P.E. ratio is now at 17.1. And I'm just going to say that's the long-term average is right in there, 16 to 18, where we're at an average P.E., which makes the market much more reasonably priced than the 23 times earnings that we started the year at. So the five-year average is 18.6, but that includes all of those low interest rate years. The 10-year average is 17, so we're right at average again. And as I said, during the upcoming week, 152 S&P 500 companies will report earnings. Now, why do we put so much emphasis on earnings? Because I have not found any indicator in the market. There's a lot of market timers out there, Barry. Man, I've seen it based on the astrological tables. I've seen
seasonality.
Seasonality, yeah. Go away in May. I've seen it based on moving averages. I've seen it based on Bollinger Bands, on
Dow theory.
Dow Theory.
we can keep going all day.
I have not found one that's better than earnings and earnings expectations, because that's your bread and butter. That's a simple math equation. It takes Venus out of the equation. It takes, all of the different weird kinds of things. You're coming down to earnings and a multiple. And if you consider that the long-term average multiple of the market's been around 16 to 18, and those earnings reports are out there in different locations depending on the source, and I have some calculations of doing my own on those 500 companies. It's one thing to look backwards at the P.E. ratio, but that's already in the books. That was baked into the cake a long time ago. And these current earnings that are coming in, for the most part, they've been baked into the cake. Now we're looking out at least 6 months, and more like, believe it or not, 12 to 18 months. 12 to 18 months down the road. And I got to check. We may be starting to get 2024 earnings estimates. I'll check into that today. I do have a couple of sources that track that. They're not cheap, those sources, but we'll see if they've got anything out for 2024 yet. But for me, that's the number one indicator to watch, and that's taken a lot of the emotion out of the market. Since 2009, we had 1 year where the earnings went down, and that was the COVID year. But since 2009, earnings have been going up, and we have pretty solid numbers there for next year right now. Okay, now when we come back, I would just say that the sectors that seem to be in play right now, there's basically three sectors, maybe a few more. The technology's improved a lot, obviously, with the good earnings from Apple and Google and Amazon. We get AMD this week. The NASDAQ has turned the corner from a terrible downtrend. It went down 34%. And the earnings didn't really move, okay? It was the valuation that moved, the P.E. ratio. The tech sector, the NASDAQ has bottomed and has now turned to the upside. It's come a long ways in the last 2 or 3 weeks. It may need to cool off a bit. But obviously the tech stocks are in play right now. I think that chip bill got the chip stocks going again. The renewable energy, okay, with Joe Manchin flipping last week on a much smaller package than the original one, but still there's a lot in that package for renewable solar in particular, the solar stocks. I called Enphase the stock of the week last week, and we're happy to report that's one that we own. And then I would say another sector, I think the oil and gas sector is still in play, and to some extent, I'm seeing the railroad stocks and the trucking stocks, transportation stocks, and the shipping stocks still doing fairly well. All right. Well, this is Bill Gunderson, and Barry Kite will be right back with What's Poppin' Today.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. No best inverse funds to really talk about this week. They've kind of faded in the background where they belong. In fact, I rank those 33 asset classes every day. The app ranks those. And one of the asset classes I use are the inverse funds. I use SH as the proxy for that. It's down at the bottom where it belongs. It's at the end of the parade, number 33 out of 33. And number one asset class this week is the NASDAQ. I consider that a unique asset class. It's much different from the Dow. And that's the number one asset class. You know, it was just about reverse several weeks ago, as the NASDAQ was plunging 34%, it dropped way down the list, and SH went way up the list of asset classes. So I'll choose three here to feature. I had someone write to me and said, I bought one of the stocks you featured. Listen, I'm not telling you to go out and buy these stocks. You have your own free agency to buy or sell, or if you're managing your own account. I'm just giving you some examples here of things that are popping off the page. You do your own research on them. I'm going to do one from each of the sectors I mentioned before we went to break. I mentioned the shipping. The railroads have done really well recently. You know, without pipelines, they're pretty much carrying the oil. And the boats traveling back and forth carrying different things. Frontline has always been one of my favorites. Frontline is a $2.13 billion company, FRO. They're not a dry bulk carrier of grain and things like that. Instead, they're tanker transportation of oil and oil products. They have a fleet of 70 vessels. And they're sitting in a pretty good spot right now, obviously, because tanker rates are way up. Like a lot of the tanker stocks, I think they're headquartered in Bermuda. Let's see here. Bermuda is probably, yes, Bermuda. They used to pay a huge dividend yield, but not anymore, because that's a pretty volatile industry. But if you look at a one-year chart of that stock, it's up about, since the beginning of the year, it's about 30 to 35% to the upside. And, you know, consider that the S&P is down about 15%. So the relative strength is a 95 on a scale of 1 to 99. Let's see where it's ranked overall in the app. This comes from the transportation sector. And the subcategory is transportation shipping. Frontline, actually, Frontline is not ranked. You can't do evaluation. It's kind of hard to do evaluation on the stock. But the technical, the performance of it has been terrific. So that one's jumping off the page today. It's up 5.3% on big volume. Okay, then I mentioned the solar stocks. I'm not going to mention our friend Enphase. Instead, I'll go to South Korea. No, Singapore. Maxeon Solar Technologies, M-A-X-N. Now, they sell, okay, they sell the products. There's where the shortages are. You know, they're not a company that goes around knocking on doors wanting to put solar on your roof. They make the products for the solar industry. Maxeon is a small company. It's a micro-cap stock. Let's see where that thing is ranked right now. And, you know, as I rank the sectors in the market, the app ranks 66 different sectors in the market. There were several top sectors this week that were tech-related. I saw the semiconductors in there. I saw the information technology. And then the next best sector in the entire market was the solar sector. Maxeon is currently ranked number 170 out of 6,040 stocks. Maxeon is up 24% year-to-date, 24% year-to-date.
Well, check out CELH today, Celsius. Have you
we
seen
do
that
own
thing?
Celsius. I didn't know whether to feature that or not.
Pepsi took a stake in them, and so they're that beverage is through the roof today. So
we found that one with the app, and guess what? It was the number one ranked stock. It may still be today.
I think as of the end of the last week, I think it was ranked second highest ranked. I'm sure it will be number one after today.
Yeah, that's the main reason I bought it. It was ranked number one out of 6,034 in BestStocksNowApp.com. It's up 17% today. Well, I don't know. Was it Coke that bought Monster Energy? One of the big ones.
I think it was a similar playbook on. Or no, it was. I know the Armour or something. So not Under Armour, but it was some kind of Armour. It was a drink.
They bought that, but I think they also bought Monster recently.
Yeah. Yep.
So, anyways, okay. So Celsius, the CELH. We own that in our ultra growth portfolio, and I saw one of my subscribers sent me a message here. Have you seen Celsius today? Yeah, I did. I was just going to kind of keep it quiet. Anyways, we're proud to own that one. Okay, well, we're out of time. I'm not going to get to the third one. We'll hear a lot more about that one when they report earnings this week, I suppose. Okay, well, you know what? The market has been all over the map. We went through a 34% downtrend. I looked at Kathy Woods is down 52% year-to-date. That's still a sour area of the market, very sour. In fact, last week, I mean, Shopify got clobbered, Teladoc got clobbered, and Roku got clobbered on Friday. So that's still a very treacherous area of the market. I did see that there was some talk of maybe Teladoc being in play by one of the big, like, CVS or something. But those are rumors, you know. So anyways, we don't own any of those stocks at the current time. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, Barry's back. He'll be doing the appointments from now. Last Friday was the last one I did, or last Thursday, I guess. 855-611-BEST. And, man, we really sharpened the pencil and updated the target prices for the S&P 500 going forward. That's going to determine which direction it goes. This is Bill Gunderson. You get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.